All right, hello, and welcome to the At YouTube Podcast. This is a special B-side edition, we're calling it. We might come up with a better name, but it's B-side number one for now of the At YouTube Podcast. We gathered a crew of folks together to discuss some important news that just broke over the weekend and officially this morning, Monday morning, as we record. I've got Sherry, Matt, and Tasula. Everybody say hello at the same time because we're going quick.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that was you're almost all at the same time. That's okay. We're still rehearsing the B-sides. It's rougher. So what we're gathering together to quickly talk about is the Joshua Tree tour announcements that I don't know what we sort of had rumblings and rumors of as far back as when, Matt. How long have we sort of this been teased or thought might be happening?
It's been at least, well, I think our first post about it was, what, a week or so ago? And then I think there were actually rumblings of it like several days, if not a week or so before that. If memory serves,
right.
So it's been kind of bouncing around for a couple of weeks, I'd say.
Yeah, and then obviously over the weekend here, if you haven't paid attention to any of the U2 news on the internet, it kind of blew up over the weekend, especially yesterday, as it basically kind of leaks were happening. Everybody kind of got wind of things. Obviously, the arrangements of graphics and logos and things that were getting sent out ahead of time to press release kind of stuff was obviously sort of leaking through various channels. And what time were you guys up? I went to bed last night, but you folks stayed up.
We didn't. Matt and I didn't. I was up. I locked out.
Didn't you get a nap in, Tasula?
I did take a little tiny nap. I intended to sleep for 2 hours, and I think I was so excited. It was like Christmas Eve sort of sleep. So I was probably out for a good 45 minutes and then set my alarm to get back up at the time we had been told it would go live. And then I was up with Matt while he was working on the new stuff. I was working on the calendar stuff. I don't think I logged out till like 2:15 or so. And I had a 6 a.m. conference call for my real job. So good time.
And yeah, the news hit. They all went to bed. I woke up.
Yeah, that's right. Which is good. It's good because we have some night owls on the West Coast and some early morning people on the East. So we had it covered. It was good. The news hit like a little before 1 a.m. Pacific, which is
about
when we were told to expect it. So that's good.
And if you're living under a rock, haven't heard anything about it at all on the web yet, and this is your first time hearing anything about this, U2 is touring, doing the Joshua Tree tour. 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree is this year, and so they're doing a tour where they're allegedly, apparently, still being worked out. They're going to play every song in some form or another. We don't know yet, obviously, if it's going to be from start to finish. Does someone want to sort of summarize?
It has to be from start to finish, right?
Right?
It has to be.
You would think.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I can't picture them doing like, you know, two or three Joshua Tree songs and then, oh, let's play, you know, Elevation. Every Breaking Wave. And then let's go. I don't know. I can't imagine how that would flow. But then at the same time, I'm also afraid, you know how, you know, like they like to tinker, like Bono likes to tinker and Edge likes to tinker. I have this feeling that they're going to start playing it straight through, like during rehearsals. And they'll say, well, what if we moved Red Hill Mining Town over here and put Running to Stand Still over after this? So I don't know. I really have no idea what to expect.
The band themselves. Go ahead, Tasula.
I get what Edge was saying about wanting to, I think it was Edge, wanted to build up to Streets, but I think just them coming out to that red screen, people would lose their minds.
I think so too.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I think back in 87, it was Kirsty McCall who organized the running order of the Joshua Tree anyway. The band wanted to lead with Red Hill Mining Town as the lead video. I would hope that they would take a page out of history for the past 30 years and start with Streets, because all their other ideas weren't very good. Go with what works.
Just because it's been this way for, in concert, it's this build up song, but it could also be an opening song that would, you know, like you said, welcome everybody into the arena, kick off an amazing concert, and the nostalgia and or celebration, whichever way you look at it, vibe would just like go off the charts, I think, for everybody to open with a song like that. So
somebody on my Facebook page said that they should do like what they used to do, well, and not even that long ago, play it twice, you know, open with it and then do it later in the show, like 11 o'clock TikTok or I Will Follow or Vertigo. more recently.
That idea, and even like an abridged version or whatever at the beginning, and then the like whatever, some sort of segue type thing later or whatever that they might do. And I'm curious to see how they'll incorporate other songs into this idea, because I mean the album running order is probably what I forgot to look, 60 minutes or something. It's not a full show.
It's
44 minutes.
40 yeah. something. Yeah.
So no, it's not. 50. Yeah, it's not even a full show. So it's as far as what they've been doing. So it'll be interesting to see which songs get thrown in. If it's just B sides and they stick to that era, or if they're gonna, you know, new stuff, old stuff, full mix.
But think how long they could drag out stuff like Bullet, though.
That's true.
That could be a long.
I mean, we can assume. I mean, based on the commentary, you know, from Edge in the RollingStone.com interview, and I think Adam and his radio interview that went out today. I mean, we can assume that the version of Bullet that we saw at the Dreamforce and the iHeartRadio show, that's going to be similar, if not the same, right? I mean, there's going to be a very political edge to that. There'll be a political edge to some of the other stuff. So yeah, it'll be longer. You know, clearly it's not going to be a, you know, a 50-minute show. And Edge said as much, that they're going to work in other stuff. And didn't he say in the Rolling Stone interview that he thinks they're going to try to sort of mine that era, that, you know,
yeah,
those
that they
early
were going
dates?
To be looking yes. at the at their earlier material. Right. Now, I don't think we're going to see Woman Fish. I don't think we're going to see Drunk Chicken. I would like to see Birdland.
I was just going to nominate if. Chicken gets in there, that's my bathroom break song.
Can you believe that he didn't know that we wanted Drowning Man? That was the most shocking thing I read in that article, I think.
But he knew about Acrobat.
Yeah.
Of course he knew about Acrobat. Annoying Acrobat fans. Yeah, but Drowning Man was before this. I know, I'm going to get in trouble again. I'm just making so many friends this week. But I thank you to all those people who sent me apologies on Twitter this morning. I so appreciate that, because it did kind of bother me. But anyway, no, back to Drowning Man. Drowning Man would actually fit here because it came before this. So if they're going for nostalgia, let's do it.
So I'm assuming you all have booked tickets and hotel stops for every single stop on the tour.
Not every single stop, but a good portion of them.
For folks who are the YouTube chat room that we have, the Slack thing, like before the tour is even announced and there's rumors of it, people are like, yeah, I'm booked in for the hotel for a month in Vancouver, and I'm booked for the, and I'm like,
we know better,
I haven't even
right?
asked
We've
my,
shut out.
Yeah, exactly. Just for a little peek inside the super fan area.
I'll confess that last Tuesday, right after I posted the Pasadena rumor on the site, I booked a hotel in Pasadena. And then when I posted the Vancouver rumor, I canceled the Pasadena hotel and booked a Vancouver hotel.
much easier path
so
to Vancouver.
Whether or not I'm actually going, I'm not positive yet. Speaking of that, this, we should talk about this, because I'm wondering if you guys think these shows are going to sell out. And because that kind of leads into, you know, we're kind of expecting a second show that will be added in at least some cities, right? Because the rumor we got was that, you know, two nights are booked at the Rose Bowl. So like I've been thinking myself all along, like, I don't think these are going to sell out. But then I'll tell you two little anecdotes.
Oh,
7 o'clock this morning, I'm sound asleep. The alarm goes off. My wife's already wide awake, you know, getting ready for her work day. As soon as she knows I'm awake, I want to go to the Joshua Tree show. First thing out of her mouth today. My wife
Yay!
Is not a fan, right? She, I mean, she's been to a couple shows here and there. You know, she's, you know, not at our level by any means, but she wants to go. So I said, why do you want to go? And she said, because it's the Joshua Tree. Are you kidding me? It's the greatest album.
Thank
And I got a text from another friend locally who I know through church, who I know is kind of a music fan. I didn't know if he likes you too or whatever. He's already been calling and texting me, how do I get tickets for the show? So now I'm starting to wonder, maybe this is going to be more popular amongst the casual music/YouTube fan than I thought.
Yeah, the first text I got this morning was from our church worship director going, oh my God! So... like, okay, I guess the whole congregation's going. I found it interesting, of the dates that they've announced, they're Sunday night dates, not Saturday night, Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the breakdown of the schedule, they could add a Saturday night in some of those cities if they wanted to. They would put Sunday night on first, because that's the harder of the two weekend shows to sell. Based on the strength of the sale on Sunday, then they could put on sale Saturday.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I think you're right.
And it is, to Matt's point or whatever about, you know, the casual fan, I think it hits right in that perfect nostalgia fan of U2 who doesn't necessarily care about songs of whatever. And Actung Baby was pretty good, but they didn't, you know, after that, they kind of dropped off. But Joshua Tree was when they were like young, wish they could have gone to see U2. Now they are, you know, employed, maybe the management or CEOs or whatever of companies, and can actually afford to fly across the country to see them and wherever. And so, yeah, just like what, I mean, famously Bruce Springsteen obviously did with his touring with Behind an Album or whatever. And that idea is, it's not new ground necessarily, new ground for U2. And that's, I think, what Cecilia was talking about as far as getting some replies of apology or whatever about the, like, you know, discussion of U2 looking back, isn't the U2 I knew and all that kind of stuff. But there's many good reasons, the fact that, like, the U.S. political climate is changing and sort of reminiscent of what it was 30 years ago, all those kinds of things, I think, sort of point to a both and thing where they typically they wouldn't be looking back like that, but it's kind of a good opportunity to do that. I don't think if it was the 30th, if it wasn't the 30th anniversary, I don't think they would be doing it in the same way if it didn't happen to line up also politically as well, and sort of the climate of the times as well lining up. So
Adam goes into detail about that very topic, Chris, in this morning's RTE radio interview. He said that the clarity of the youth isn't where they are now, that where they were in their 20s isn't where they are in their 50s. So even though it's the same music, it's a totally different album to them now, 30 years later.
Yeah, which is really cool. So the other quick thing we want to touch on is maybe ticket buying advice for people. So aside from the Uber fans who are buying tickets for every single show and every single seat at every single show or whatever, what, you know, there's the GA discussion, there's this assigned seat discussion, et cetera. And I remember doing this too, and we were sort of giving advice for European fans as the previous tour went across the ocean. What should they be buying? And so what do you folks buy? The way I'm looking at it is Matt from the left, Tasula, then Sherry, in my field of view anyways. What tickets are you hoping to get, and what advice would you give to a fan?
As we record this, I have not gotten all caught up to speed yet on ticket prices and all that sort of stuff because I've been busy all morning and doing other sort of stuff. So I still have some catching up to do. My initial thought is that I want GA just because I know I don't like sitting in seats and having people around me sit during certain songs and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just thinking I want to be in GA. Just because I like the freedom of walking around, and I'm not the type that needs to get in line at 7 a.m. for GA. And if I end up in the back a little ways, I'm fine with that. So that's my current thinking, just based on, you know, 12 hours ago is when the news came out and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, nothing about this tour specifically says I need front row, blah, 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 you know, next to the stage to catch Adam's sweat. Okay, Sula, how about you?
Yeah, I echo pretty much what Matt said. I remember at 360, we kind of hung toward the back in most of the shows we went to together as a team, and we were fine. We actually had a better view of the whole band than if we had been closer up front and kind of, you know, absorbing their sweat or whatever you just said. But I do think Vancouver will be a good gauge, and I reserve the right to change my opinion for Seattle if Vancouver does prove to be something that I might have wanted to be closer to. So,
right. Because the staging, I mean, it remains to be seen how minimalist stripped back they go in terms of the look.
Right.
Presumably they want video, obviously, for people at the back to see, but how are they going to do Zoo TV era as kind of video? Or
I don't think we're going to be under a claw. Let's just say that,
right,
which is a relief.
Yeah. How about you, Sherry?
Looking at the Ticketmaster layouts, looks like there's a giant Joshua Tree that's going to be coming out as their B stage. And so it's an end zone stage with the B stage coming out. The general admission tickets are $70, which is still a very reasonable amount of money in a stadium. So you're going to have a lot more people being able to be in that area. Ticket prices go anywhere between $35 or 35 euros or 35 pounds, all the way up to 280, much like the last tour. So I would envision that the, you know, the 100th section in the stadium will be at your $280 range. Then the higher you go in the arena, the less the ticket cost will be. Does look like there's going to be a red zone once again. Most of the Ticketmaster mapping has the red zone up front. And those will obviously be at a higher dollar amount because most of that will be donated to Red. It looks like there's also VIP packages. As far as our family goes, I want to do GA, I want to do Red Zone, and I want to do seats. So looking at the shows that I want to go to, I'll be able to jostle back and forth between different places. Being only 5 foot tall, I can assure you that being up front at a stadium stinks. And I'm being very PG-13 on that one. It stinks. You can't see anything.
Well, it smells too, probably.
For the 360 shows, I was way back by the mixing decks and had a far better experience back there. But that's my own personal opinion. Your mileage may vary based on the amount of sweat you want to consume.
Yeah, and as we record this on Monday, again, the ticket sales go on Wednesday is the pre-sale, right? If you're a U2.com member, that's one of the perks of being
for the Red Hill group.
Oh, right.
Thursday, it'll be for the Wires group.
Okay. Those are based on how early in the U2's fandom you joined, right? Is that the...
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If you joined before December 24th, then you're part of the Red Hill. If you joined after that date, then you're part of Wires.
Okay. And that ends on Friday. And then Monday and Tuesday next week is when the regular folks get to buy and pick up the scraps, as it were. No, I'm just kidding. There'll be plenty of good seats, obviously. And but obviously, like, that's where paying $50 to be, or whatever it happens to be in your currency, to be a U2.com member, if you're desperate and wanting to assure you get a seat, that's the best way to do it. So you don't have to deal with scalpers, et cetera. Right?
And the latest news is subscribers get 4 tickets. You can divide them up any way you want. If you want to get 1 ticket to 4 shows, 2 tickets to 2 shows, 3 tickets to 1 show, and 1 ticket to another, your code will work for up to 4 tickets. It doesn't matter how you divvy that up. That just got updated on the U2.com FAQ about the ticket presale.
Right, which we'll post in the show notes links to, which, I mean, obviously you can go visit U2.com. At U2.com, we'll have updates and news as we hear it, and we'll be posting. Follow the Twitter account at U2. Anything else before we wrap up this quick, air quotes quick, I think it was quick, B-side?
No, I think we did good.
All right.
Let's do more of these quickies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it took us twice as long to set up.
Dalton Brothers 2017. Yes. We got a free Betty Dalton.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. If it's not the Acrobat, it's the Dalton Brothers. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. I don't know if the test of the video worked. Thanks for watching. And we'll have more about that if that works out in the future. And goodstuff.fm/ATU2 is where you can find the podcast, of course, in iTunes and all your favorite podcast players of choice. And I think that's it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.